Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, diving into the tight end startup draft build. So as I mentioned in the Sunday show, going to be doing a series here on basically building backwards. So going to look back at the draft to forwards, thinking about guys at specific costs, where we might find value, where we might find target players, and then where we might find roster construction implications. And I think it's thinking about those things pretty important this time of year when we're getting into doing more startup drafts and thinking about, I really like to build backwards, thinking about guys that later on in the draft might have build you out some depth that, hey, maybe it's a situation where you can sacrifice early, right? Sort of how do you best optimize? Because a lot of optimizing is going backwards. So starting at the back, I think interestingly, Kyle Rudolph, 28th round, he's going 58th, his median draft position there for the tight end position. It's pretty interesting in terms of some capital, guy who has done it. I do think there's some potential for Evan Engram to potentially be traded. I don't think that's necessarily out of the realm of the possible. So Rudolph's a guy we've seen do it. And that's a pretty good formula to sort of outproduce draft capital. Going up here, you know, in the developmental lane, John Bates is one. It's just interesting from like a stash perspective. He's going 2609, 52nd at the position. Keep going up here. A guy we've seen do it a little bit, but been largely hurt, 2505. Will Dissly, tight end 48. Drew Sample, 2504, tight end 46. Depressed pedigree, no significant competition, draft, or free agency, really. So that's one where, hey, we could see 50, 60, 70 targets and, you know, fill in some holes for us, fill in some gaps. Jordan Akins is one that's going probably undervalued based on where he's at, some of the efficiencies I've been looking at. 2502, that's tight end 50. Noah Gray, kind of, again, on the developmental track, 2311, tight end 46. So if you're looking for a stash guy, that's kind of in that range. Jimmy Graham, 2307. So if you're thinking, hey, you know, it's 50, 60% snap share guy, 60, 70 targets, something like that, possible. And tight end 45. You can get starter weeks out of that for sure. Again, what's the formula for guys at tight end to outproduce their ADPs? It is guys who have done it, who have jobs, and who we know that can play, right? Like guys who have done it that still have jobs, they tend to outproduce where their costs are, especially this late, you know, when they're older. But never bet against a guy. Never give up too early on a guy that is being drafted late that has a job, and the only reason he's going really late is because he doesn't have a lot of long-term longevity. Like that's a situation where you can absolutely get a year of usability out of him, and we saw it last year. CJ Uzama, 2208, he is tight end 41, so that's him and Drew Sample both there in Cincinnati. I think Uzama has a little bit more movement ability, and shown a little bit more than Sample has at this point. But we'll see there. I think that's an interesting one to get some dirt cheap production out of. Kylan Granson, too, 2210. He is tight end 38 is his median. He is, again, a rookie developmental type for Indianapolis. Keep moving up here. Trey McKitty, if you're looking for some depressed rookie draft pedigree, 2107. That's tight end 39.5. A couple guys I really like here in the 30s. Dalton Schultz, 2004. That's tight. He's a median of 34. Hayden Hurst going ahead of him is actually a median of 35. So he's 1901. And you see some of the sample size discrepancies and stuff like that. Some of the medians can change based on, there's a whole bunch of different factors about why they can sort of be a little bit offset, but you sort of look in 19th, 20th round for both those guys. Hayden Hurst is one. I just look at Atlanta and I say, okay, so you had top 10, top 12, top 15 production from Hayden Hurst last year. You draft Kyle Pitts. You're going to trade Julio Jones. If they trade Julio Jones, that leaves Hayden Hurst as being the second most established pass catcher on that team. Again, I'm not sure it's a 80-90 target scenario, but crazier things have happened. And listen, some of the Pitts stuff is like, hey, we're going to split him out. Like, all right, well, that leaves room for Hayden Hurst to operate. And is it Russell Gage? Is it Olamide Zaccheaus? Right? Is that who is going to be taking in all these targets? Like, I don't know. I can bet. We've seen Jonnu Smith and Anthony Firkser do it in Tennessee, and both of them have lower pedigree than Hurst and Kyle Pitts do. So, same offensive coordinator, you know, now head coach in Atlanta with their Arthur Smith. So that's one I think, and can he potentially land in a different job next year? Yeah, I think so. And he's going to be a free agent. That's an interesting one in terms of has production potential this year to well outproduce that and be more valuable next year. So that's one I think he's really interesting there, 18th, 19th round. David Joku, 2801. I don't necessarily love it compared to some of the other guys going in this range, like that Hurst is going after him. They're largely similar bets, and Hurst has been better more recently. So, you know, that's probably makes Hurst more of a value than Joku at his cost. But again, similar type of thing where you're going to be a free agent, you know, maybe better scenery and on a second deal. Heck, maybe he's a trade candidate, right? There are teams out there seeking tight end production that he could potentially fit a need for, probably for not that high of a cost. So he's one to think about there. Probably more upside than Hurst does for the rest of his career. But Hurst has done it more recently. 17th round, I'm not huge on Dawson Knox, but if you're looking for, you know, a nominal tight end one on his team, he's there. 1701, tight end 29. Hunter Long, 1709, 29.5. He's got a pretty decent profile. I don't love some of the stuff that I saw from him on tape. That's a little bit of the concern that I have there with him. And I think maybe some of it was some system stuff, but you can't really question some of the metrics that he put out there on paper. It's more of a tape concern that I don't necessarily see some of the stuff showing up in terms of some of the stuff I saw of him on tape. So wasn't a huge proponent of him, but I get the argument, especially at that cost. Tommy Tremble, 1705, tight end 30. Again, if you're going to the developmental range, that's an interesting, definitely an interesting one. Two guys I really like going 1611, Jared Cook and Eric Ebron. Both of them I think have really interesting potentials as being tight end ones on their team, kind of year-to-year windows at this point. Ebron obviously younger and got, you know, maybe more chances ahead of him. Jared Cook's probably playing one-year deals at this point, but and I'll get to it in a minute. I think has some unique upside in this range. Anthony Firkser, my dude, 1509. Gronkowski, interestingly, 1608. So the two of them there really interesting in that range. Gronkowski is going 27.5. Anthony Firkser is going 22 as his RDP. So that's an interesting, you know, there is a spread there on Firkser for sure. That is, I think, notable. That Gronkowski RDP, I mean, talk about a guy that can produce top 10 to 12 production this year at a dirt cheap cost. Again, same formula as Jimmy Graham. If they have a job and we know that they can play, that's typically a source of outproducing ADP. So Gronkowski there definitely fits in that's like a pretty rock solid tight end too for me. And I think you could get away with, you know, going a couple of these guys if you want to go developmental route early and then sort of backfill it with Gronkowski. I think he gives you a lot of different outs in that range. Austin Hooper is a guy that should probably be outproducing what he did last year. Again, it was kind of a free agent dud type scenario. 1503, 23 at tight end. So I kind of look at him and say maybe there's something more there in a year or two. Zach Ertz, 1410. He's probably on the move here, I would imagine, in the next week or so based on it being June first. So tight end 21. And then you sort of get into a range where, you know, Tyler Higbee is really interesting here, 2808. And when you sort of lay him against some of the guys that are also going in this range, it gives you a totally different perspective, right? 1605 there for Higbee. You look at guys going in the same one round span as him. Adam Troutman, 2111. Pat Freiermuth, 1203. And Komet 11-11. I think I might have said Troutman 21. He's 12-11. Freiermuth 12-03. Komet 11-11. So that's 16th through 19th there at the position. And again, you stack Higbee in there, who's I think got really unique upside in that range. And you're basically, you know, what bet do you want to make in that range? And again, this is kind of the team building stuff that we're talking about. Do you want to take a developmental tight end and sort of pair him with, you know, whether that's an earlier, more established guy or whether it's a Gronkowski later and sort of, you know, try and play a little bit of a two-way go, that's possible. Do you want to sort of, you know, to play a more developmental type early up on the board and backfill with Higbee? Or do you want to sort of go Higbee as tight end one, backfill it with Gronkowski, right? Or and then you can sort of backfill it with another young guy. You know, you have a lot of different options there. But I think he's an interesting one in terms of how you sort of want to put it together. I think Higbee can give you a lot of different optionality in terms of how he could fit together. I think he's going to be a compelling tight end one type play this year. Going further up the board, not huge in the Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, Robert Tonyan, Logan Thomas range of the draft. It's probably a range I'm going to avoid. That's 10th through 11th round. Figured I'd mention that. Evan Ingram's interesting, 10-07. That's tight end 13. I think that one's interesting. Irv Smith, I'm avoiding at 10-01. He's tight end 10. I'm avoiding him. Gesicki and Goddard, interesting there. Seventh, eighth round. The two of them, Goddard, tight end 8, is his median. Gesicki, tight end 10, is his median. So that's an interesting. Is that where you're going to start your position? I'm not sure I want to start it there. Maybe that's a second tight end if you're going in tight end premium. You know, maybe if you go there, you're backfilling with Higbee, for example. Like that might probably makes you feel a little bit better about your situation. Or maybe you're backfilling it with Gronk. You know, you're not necessarily sure what you're going to get in terms of upside stability with those guys, both with different quarterbacks. Noah Fant, 701, kind of got the quarterback concern as well. So I think all those guys sort of fit similarly. I think Fant's got pretty unique upside compared to the other two. The target range that I would say for me is Mark Andrews and TJ Hockenson. So that's 507 for Andrews, 509 for Hockenson. The tight ends 5 and 6 there respectively. I think that's a really interesting spot to potentially start your team. And, you know, that's you're looking in the fifth round. You know, if you want to reach a little bit earlier than that, like I could see that being in play. And especially in like a safe league setting, I can absolutely see that being in play. I think both of those guys are interesting tight end ones. I think ultimately Hockenson's probably got more upside, but I think Andrews is pretty rock solid. Like we know that he's a darn good player. It's just really a question of volume, right? If he was on Travis Kelce's route schedule, we'd be having a whole different discussion about Andrews. But pretty good floor, and I think some decent ceiling. Again, top six finish, well in his range of outcomes. I think up at the top, I think of the top four guys, I like Waller the best at his cost, 309. He's going tight end 4. Now, Pitts' median is actually at 2. Kittle's is at 2 as well. Kelsey's at 2.5. So we're seeing a little bit of fluctuation on Kelce. He's actually going a little bit earlier in draft so than the other two guys. So there's some different samples in there. Pitts is in a couple more drafts in this time frame this last month. It's probably some couple hangover drafts from before the draft. So it makes it look a little bit different in terms of some of where the medians lie. But I think it's interesting. You know, that's an interesting range. I'm probably not doing it that early. I think there's other ways to probably go about it. But I get it. I get the argument for Pitts. I've seen him as early as first skill position player off the board, not a quarterback. So that's too rich for me. I get it. I get why he's going there. But I think that this exercise has kind of showed us a lot of different avenues at which you could go to the position. And I'm not necessarily sure going tight end that early is on a young guy as one that I want to do. I think if you go with some of the other tight ends at that range, you're locking yourself into more of a kind of need to fit it in the next year or two window. What I really like about Andrews is they give you a lot of multiple outs, right? There's optionality there, and that's what I really like about them. Like I said, the top four, I think my target's Waller. The Hockenson Andrews range is really interesting. Guys that I think have top six upside outside the top 15. Higbee at 16.05, Jared Cook 27, and Gronk 27.5. Those are 12th and 16th round there for 12th for Higbee, 16th for both Cook and Gronk. Elite prior producers that are going way down the board: Zach Ertz, tight end 21, Hooper, tight end 23, Gronk, again, tight end 27.5, Cook 27 as well, Graham 45. So if you're sort of looking for what's that profile of guys that kind of outproduce, elite prior producers, depressed costs, have a job, those guys all fit that bill, with the caveat that we'll have to see where Zach Ertz lands up. But I think those guys are all interesting and sort of backfill. Hey, they're tight end two on my roster because I've got, you know, different assets ahead of them, but could ultimately be my better starter this year type scenarios. Some depressed pedigree guys, you know, Eric Ebron's always in that range. He'll constantly be a depressed pedigree guy, I'm sure. He is going 16-11. That's tight end 28. 16-09 for OJ Howard is a depressed pedigree guy. I question his upside there. Joku, again, 18.01. I question some of his upside there. Hurst is the one that's interesting to me, I think, at his cost, because I think he's got – we've seen him do it, and he's got outs. So that would be my watch there. Again, probably not a ton of huge long-term high-end upside, but I do think over the next – you know, if he kind of replicated a Jared Cook-like track, it wouldn't shock me. And then Jordan Akins at 25.02. So that's one that you kind of look at and you say, that's really deep for probably the lead tight end on his team. He's going tight end 50 there. So that's one that I can say, hey, he's shown a decent amount. He's actually outproducing based on the projections where his cost is right now. So that's something that really appeals to me as well, just this year. So. All right, well, that'll do it for the tight end position in terms of, you know, building backwards. And we'll continue here with some of the other positions, all the other positions here going forward. But I figured I'd start with tight end because it's the easiest and, you know, one that's been front of mind in some of the conversations. And heck, we're building backwards. Might as well start with the position we usually go with last. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.